with the fall holy day season just around the corner, let me ask, how prepared are we for the holy days? The fall holy day season is a picture of the coming kingdom of God, and we are to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ and the beginning of the ushering in of the kingdom of God on earth. So the question is, are we ready? Please go with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 8, 19. And it came to pass, and it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Pretty strong words. Brethren, we are called to serve the eternal God, and we need to be prepared in order to do so. And I think each one of us would also understand, if we just think about it, that it takes real preparation to serve God. Also, I think that we understand that we are to be involved in the preparation of the coming of the kingdom of God. That's another topic, but I still think that we understand that. At least we should understand that. John the Baptist was involved in the first coming of the Messiah. And let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Beginning in verse 2, and let's see where this says that. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so we see that John the Baptist was involved in that preparation for the first coming of the Messiah. Well, brethren, we also are to be involved in the next coming, or the second coming of Messiah as well. And I think we all would certainly think about this. We would certainly understand and agree that down through biblical history, the people of God have been told to prepare for the coming of the kingdom. Back in one of the minor prophets, the book of Amos, we see a warning to the nation of Israel to prepare to meet God. And so let's go there, Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Amos 4 and verse 12. We're just going to read verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And so we are to prepare. So down through history, Bible history, we have been told that we are to prepare. And so we are to be ready. And so I'd like for us to see some other verses about being prepared for what is to come. So with this in mind, let's go to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The point that we're looking at is there are other verses throughout the pages of the Bible that are going to show us that we as the people of God are to be preparing for all kinds of things. We are to be preparing for the coming of God. Therefore, we're to be coming prepared for the Feast of Trumpets, because that's where Jesus Christ returns, and that's the ushering in. At that point, it starts. Now, I know in a more technical way, we certainly understand that it's the Feast of Tabernacles that pictures the thousand-year reign. And I know you know that, and you know that I understand that. But anyway, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. This is part of the armor of God. We are told to put on the armor of God. And verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel of peace? We're to be prepared for getting the information out. It's all looking forward to, it's teaching who is the Messiah, who is the Savior. It is, of course, Jesus Christ. We're to be teaching who he is, what he's done, what he is doing, and what he's yet going to be doing, and focusing people's attention to when he returns, what is he going to be doing? That's the fall holy day season. That's the picture. And so it's very clear, we are told to prepare for and to be involved in this. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read several of the verses here in this particular section because I think it makes a point that I want to get across here. We're going to begin in verse 35, and I am reading this section here out of the New Revised Standard Version. I think it's a little more modern, and it's a little clearer in what is exactly the intent here. But verse 35, it says, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit." See, isn't that an interesting way of putting it? Verse 36, "Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks." It's a picturesque, it's a clear picture of what is going to happen, and it's picturing that time of Jesus Christ returning. Verse 37, "Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them." Tells us more about Jesus Christ. That's not my focus here as such, but it's an interesting point to make here. Verse 38, "If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves." It doesn't matter when he comes. Are we going to be prepared? That's what the question is. Blessings are going to be upon those who are ready, those who are prepared. But, verse 39, "Know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready." He said if the owner of the house knew when a thief was coming, he'd have been prepared, he'd have been ready. And then he says, "You also must be ready, for the Son of God is coming at an unexpected hour." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them their allowance of food at the proper time?" Now that's a question that Jesus Christ asked when Peter said, "Are you talking to us? Are you talking to everyone?" And then Jesus actually answers it in verse 43. He says, "Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and if he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful." Again, these are, when you really think about it in the context of being prepared for the coming of the kingdom of God, for the coming of the return of the Messiah, then we certainly understand these are very strong words. It's either we're going to be prepared or we're not. There's blessings or they're not. I mean, this is what this is saying. Verse 47, "That slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself or do what was wanted will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what was deserved a beating will receive a light beating." Now this is all really complicated, even the way that they've got this worded here. But anyway, the point being here is that this is describing us, the Church of God. Now, I'm not implying the church is going to be beaten at the return of Jesus Christ. It's not what I'm saying. And I probably should have just left that verse out and tried to explain it at another time just by itself. But my point being is, there are people, Peter says, "Is this for us or is this for everyone?" And Jesus answered, "It's to him who is doing what he knows he's supposed to be doing, and he's prepared." So please understand, brethren, in the context of this, I think that we could state that our primary calling now is for our preparation so that we will be prepared and we will be ready to help the world. Now, I don't know if you've thought about it like that. Why are we called now? John 10 says, I can raise up rocks. But he's giving us an opportunity. And he's telling us that we need to be ready and we need to be prepared so that when Jesus Christ returns, we're not going to go and sit in a corner. We're not going to be sitting and, you know, and playing on harps and those kinds of things. What I'm saying is what it says here. We're going to be ready and we're going to be prepared to help the world. And we are prepared by using the Holy Spirit of God that God gives to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Verse 23, Romans 9, 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had aforetime prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And so he's extended it beyond the Jews, but to those that he is going to call, those he is going to work with. But it says it is these vessels of mercy prepared unto glory. Brethren, please understand, we are those vessels of mercy prepared unto glory, the church of God. Let's go to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 7. Kind of jumping into story, but we'll get the point real quickly here in a couple of verses of what it is that we're getting at and being prepared, because this is the focus of the sermon. Verse 9, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So we see that Ezra, when he came back out of the Babylonian captivity, the exile for the 70 years of exile, they came back and here he is, and it says that he went there, that he had prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do the law of God, in other words, to live the godly way of life, and then to teach it. 1 Samuel chapter 7, going on with the same kind of theme here. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. That's exactly what Ezra said that he did. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then God will deliver you. This is what he's saying. Verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. They had prepared their heart and they put away the false teachings. They put away the false ways of life. They prepared. And again, when you understand this, what is this purpose of their putting this away? To serve God. They were prepared to do what it was God was wanting them to do, to be ready for what God had in store. For us, it's the fall holy days teaches it's the return of Jesus Christ and the ushering into the kingdom of God. Let's go to Psalm chapter 10, David, verse 17. Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause thine ear to hear. So now we see where the preparation of heart actually comes from. It comes from God. It comes from God. So we see preparation is obviously something that is needed, and preparation of the heart is something that is needed to serve God and to be ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. And this preparation of the heart is done by God when we serve Him only. Now, that's another entire sermon all in itself, just that one phrase, just that one phrase. The preparation of the heart is done when we serve God and Him only. We get our eyes off the world. We get our eyes off of self. And we put our eyes and our focus and our heart are fixed on God. What does God want? How can I please Him? How can I serve Him? How can I be doing what He is wanting me to do? That's our focus. That has to be our intent. That has to be why we do the things we do. Whatever kind of job that you may have, whatever your vocation is, do you do it to the best of your ability serving God? That's what we're told. That's what we're told. That's the way we're to approach this. That's how we're to approach God. Now, with these things in mind at this time, I'd like for us to see an example of how important preparation really is in serving God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. You know this story, but we're going to do it in the context here of how important preparation really is in really serving God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and with hundreds, and with every leader, and David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites who are in those cities and suburbs, that may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. So all the days of Saul, it was gone, and we didn't beseech God as a people. And so here is David. He's saying, let's get all the messages out to every person everywhere, and let's come to the conclusion if this is a good thing and we're going to really please God, let's go and get the ark of God. Are we all in agreement? This is kind of what he's doing. He's rallying the people up and saying, is this a good thing? But let's continue on. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Verse 5. So David gathered all Israel together. Verse 6. And David went up, and all Israel, and come on down in verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. So they go and they find it, and they knew where it was, and they go and they get it. You know, again, you know this story, but this is dealing with importance of preparation. Now, would David, with just the words that are here, would this have inspired all of us to be involved? I think so. I think we would have been fired up. We would have said, yeah, let's go. Let's go up and get it. You know, this is a great thing. And we've, you know, it's the ark. It belongs to the people of God. Let's go and get it. And so they're excited. And then they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And so he's even telling these people, don't you know these people would have been excited to have been part of that? And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing and with harps and with the psalteries and with timbrels and the cymbals and with trumpets. A whole lot of fanfare and celebrating. Don't you see the picture? Can't we see this? And when they came unto the threshing floor of Sidon, Ezra put forth his hand to hold the ark because the oxen stumbled. How many of us would have put forth their hand to steady the ark from falling off? We all would have put forth our hand in this context. And now we see where preparation comes in. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And that is one of the most troublesome verses for some people in the pages of the Bible. They're doing a good thing. They're celebrating. They're happy. It belonged to them, and they went and get it, and they're bringing it back, and they're celebrating, and they're praising God, and they're dancing, and they're doing all these joyful things, wonderful things, and kind of stumbled a little, and he put up to do it, and God kills him. And they go, hold it, wait a minute, what's wrong? And that's what David says. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Verse 12. And David was afraid of God that day. And that's the point. We should all come to that place at this point in time. Now, we know the rest of the story. But if this is happening, we should all become afraid of God and go, hold it, wait a minute. We're not doing something right. Saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? What am I supposed to do that I'm not doing? I'm doing something wrong. And we see how important preparation really is. They were trying to serve God. There's no question about it. They were trying to serve God. However, they were not prepared to do so. That's the lesson. Let's continue the story in chapter 15, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 1. And David made his house in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. In other words, he did what? He went to God and found out, how am I supposed to carry it? What am I supposed to do? And God shows him. He showed him. And he says, none is supposed to carry the ark but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto its place, which he has prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. And he goes through and he talks about all of the people he gathered from this family and this family of the sons of Aaron and the sons of Levi. And he's down in verse 12. And David called, for the priests and the Levites. Verse 12. And he said unto them, you are the chief of the families of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart, both you and your brethren. In other words, all of the tribe. That you may bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not do it at the first. You didn't do it the first time we tried to move it. And the Lord our God made a breach upon us. Now you go back and you read, and what did he say the first time? He said, because he made a breach upon Uzzah. This time he says, he made a breach on us. Because he came to realize that Uzzah didn't make the mistake. We did. We all did it. For that we sought him not after the due order, or the right order. In other words, what David is saying here, we didn't do it the right way. We were not prepared to move the ark. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. In other words, there are these rings on the side and there was a rod that goes through and they carry it on their shoulders, not touching it. But this is the way the ark was to be carried. And so they go back and they study. In other words, they prepared for moving the ark the way God said the ark is to be moved, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Moses had written it down. It's back in the law. And so they go back and they study the law and they found out that God had said move it this way. And so they moved it. There has to be preparation. And it has to be done with knowledge. It has to be done the right way, which is God's way. God must be involved in the preparation. Let's continue on here in Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded the gathering together, the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew rough stones to build the house of God. In other words, now David has come to the conclusion, he says, we need to build God a house. You know, we're in these fancy houses. Now, I don't know how fancy their houses were, but the context shows that it's meaning like we're living in fancy houses and God's over here in a tent. We need to treat God better than that. And this is what, in essence, he's doing. He says, and so we're going to do this. In verse 3, and it says, and David prepared iron in abundance. And it goes through and he says, and also cedar trees. And in verse 5, and David says, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house this is built for the Lord must be, you know, it's magnificent and it's going to be fame. In other words, David knew that he was not going to be able to actually build it, that Solomon was, because God told him for why he wasn't, because you're a bloody man, David. You know, I appreciate the fact you're doing it, but I can't let you do this. Now, your son Solomon, after you, he can build a house, but you can't do it. But David has, but he says, and down in verse 5, I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. In my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. And he goes on and talks about how much gold and how much silver and all of that. Come on down to chapter 29. This is still in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of God, the gold for the things that were made by gold, and silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass. You get the point. Come on down in verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own property, is what he says, of my own personal stuff of gold and silver, which I have given to the house, above that I have prepared for the holy house. Then drop down to verse 16. O Lord, our God, all this store, all of this stuff that we have gotten together, all this store that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name, comes of your hand and is all your own. All the preparation has to be done, and whatever we put our hand to do has to be done the way God would want us to do it. And all the time, we understand that it came from God. That's the lesson here. It comes from God. So we see that God is absolutely involved in the preparation. This is something that King David understood. He came to understand it. He didn't know it at first, but he came to understand that. And so much of Israel came to understand that. And brethren, the point here is, so must we understand this point. Preparation is to be done, and it is to be done. God has to be involved because, after all, it comes of him and from him. Now let's go to the New Testament and see some things about this house of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we begin in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters anything, that's what it is saying, but God that gives the increase. He is something. We can pull it all together. We can get things together. We can put them in a pile. We may be able to hire the guys who do the building and do all of these kinds of things, but we know that it's God who is the one who's actually doing it. He's the one that gives the increase. This is the point here. Verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Are we involved? Yes. Are we supposed to be doing anything? Yes. Are we going to be rewarded according to how we do what it is God wants us to do? Yes. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandman. You are God's building. You are God's building. Let's come down to verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So this great temple back there and all of this preparation and went into and all of those things, all of this preparation and how David understood and he came to see an important lesson and we learned lessons from it, it was all symbolic of the church of God. We are that building. We are involved in it. And I hope that we see this. We are this house. We are this temple of God being prepared for use by God. God is using this house, this temple. And today, we are that temple. And I think it's a very important thing for us to see and for us to understand here. Let's go to another passage that applies to us today as the church of God. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. She's prepared. This word ready could just as easy have been prepared. Now, you look at all the verses that talks about the bride of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. We understand that we are to be doing certain things. We're not to be doing other certain things. And all the time, as Jesus Christ is fashioning and molding His bride the way that He wants, but we have a part. And His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He said unto me, write, this is John, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Do you understand all of this preparation that we talked about back in the Old Testament from David and seeing it and grasping and understand all looks forward to the church of God? And then we see that of the church of God, the bride, the wife, has made herself ready. She's prepared. Jesus Christ has been preparing her, and we've had a part in that. These verses do apply to us as we are prepared. However, having said that, we need to realize, brethren, if we are not prepared, we will not be there. So I think that we can see that this preparation is a very important topic. So with this in mind, I'd like for us to ask and try to answer some questions, some things that we can be doing to prepare for the upcoming Holy Day season. We're having four Holy Days coming up very, very soon. In a month's time, the Feast of Trumpets will be here. From last night to the Feast of Trumpets is 1 month. That was the beginning of the 6th month, and the Feast of Trumpets starts at the beginning of the 7th month. That's 1 month. And so we have this time here and to prepare. And so let me just ask some things, just make some kind of comments and then some questions or whatever about it. Here are some things that we can be doing to prepare. I'm not implying that this is in a best order or any of that kind of thing. I'm just saying this is in an order that I have. And the first one I have is the second tithe. Now, I'm not going through and explaining second tithe today. I thought about actually giving a sermon today on second tithe. And I thought, no, I think I'd give one on preparing for the whole feast, you know, for the whole thing. Much broader than that, but just make a little comment. If you are hearing this and not understanding what we even mean by second tithe, it's the additional tithe that's actually referred to in the Scriptures. It's nowhere ever referred to as the second tithe. It's the additional tithe. But anyway, we understand that there is this tithe and it is put aside for use for the feast of God. for those times. You go back to Leviticus 23. We're not going back to Leviticus 23, but God says that we're to keep these days, and He has prepared a way. He prepared a way for us to be able to keep them, even from a monetary point of view. He said, set aside this tenth to use in this way. He told us how to prepare. Now, here's the point in preparation. We either have or we haven't. We've either done it or we haven't. We're either prepared or we haven't. I mean, that's the point. Now, there's a whole lot more to it because there are people who can say, yes, but I have no source of income, therefore I don't have any way of doing this. That's taken care of also by God. Because those who have are to share with those who don't. And that's another issue altogether. But let's go on. Instead of just looking at the second tithe, here's some questions. Do you have a budget? Or do you just go and whatever you want to do, you just do it? Now, I'm not implying that that's not necessarily a bad thing, but isn't it much more of a godly way, let's say, that we are actually prepared for it, for the use of it, even with a budget? And my answer is, I think so. I think that's more of a godly way. And then for those who may have children, are you going to teach your children about this tithe and how to use it? And so if they have some funds, in other words, we give of our tithe to our children to be able to spend during a feast, are we teaching them how to budget and how to use it? They need to be taught how to prepare also. And a lot of this takes place before we ever get there, before we ever pull the money out and start using it. We have to be prepared, and we need to be teaching it even to our children, the proper use of this tithe. And maybe another question that I can ask in regards to the second tithe, and that is, do you know the proper use of this tithe? Let's go on. The second point I have is holiday offerings. Now, we traditionally give an offering at every holy day. Now, there's a question from some that have, and I'm not dealing with that question. I'm just saying we traditionally give a holiday offering at each holy day. We're gathered together. God says every time we come, we're to present an offering to Him. So I can make a case for it. So that's not a question. You know, that's not a problem at all. But in doing it that way. And here's the point. There are four holy days that are coming. So there are going to be four holiday offerings. And so you know the question, are you prepared? Have you prepared to give an offering? Are you involving your family in that decision? In other words, we want to give this much of an offering because it's not out of this tithe necessarily. It's out of your pocket, your living, your, you know, what you have. And so you take of this and you give to God of an extra. Is your family involved in that amount? You know, in what it is. I mean, after all, it does affect them. Now, like I said, we could spend a lot of time probably on each one of those. Okay, another one. This would be number three. Just plan. You know, plan to have what I call a healthy feast. In other words, get exercise. Get plenty of sleep. Eat properly. But so many times people go to the feast, because I'm putting all of these together in one context, if you understand, whether it be trumpets or atonement or the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, because those are the four holy days, those are the four times. There are going to be a lot of activities that are there, and the activities are intended with, you know, from the church that are offering them. They are offered with good intention, but it could be a distraction to us and to our families from other things that we might need to be doing more so. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be that, but it could be. And so have a healthy feast. Plan to have a healthy feast. Number four, plan. And planning certainly takes preparation. So plan ahead to serve others. Okay, now how can I do that? Well, widows and the fatherless. James 1, verse 27. Here's a great time to do so. And here's another way that you can bring in of that tenth of your income that you've got, we call second tithe, to help others out. Here's just another way of doing it. Plan to help others. Number five, plan to have a spiritual feast. There's a lot of physical activities, and I understand, and that's a good thing, but plan to have a spiritual feast. Now, what I mean by a spiritual feast is get in prayer. Get in personal Bible study. You may not have as much personal Bible study during the course of a week when you're not at the feast, because we're having services every day, don't count that necessarily as your Bible study. Take notes of services. And then once you take the notes, look over them later. You may not know this, but you might actually write something down, and then later you read your notes back and you go, oh, I didn't remember writing that down. And you learned something. Take notes. And like I said, I've recommended this for a long time. Have a special notebook for the holy days that you use just for holy days. Then over the course of the years, preserve them and use them through the coming years. Now, I know I have made this statement before, and I will make it again here. I have notebooks. This is not a pat on the back. I'm just saying that I really believe this. I have notebooks going back to the holy days, to 1962. I still have them. We've moved a lot of times, and when you move, you lose all kinds of stuff. They say once, I don't know, it's like by the third move, you throw most everything out or something like that because it's destroyed in some way. I still have notebooks from 1962. Do I ever pull them out and use them? Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm strong. I really believe this is a real good thing to do. I really do. Okay, another one, the next one I have is add other plans for you and your family. Just add them on your own. You know, you add plans in before go. In other words, you prepare for other things. Well, during the feast on, you know, we're going to do X as a family. And yeah, maybe you add other people in and all of that, but you're going to do things. Make some plans. It's a real good thing. Number 7, plan on giving God the Father and Jesus Christ a good feast. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, intend to really serve them with the right attitudes. Watch our attitudes. With our offerings. How we use the tithe. What and how we do with our families and with others. How do we spend our time during the feast? How we participate in the activities that are being offered. And then I have one more myself, and you can add to this on your own, and that is how we represent ourselves in the community where we're keeping the feast as examples of Jesus Christ. Because you got to remember, we're there. We are stating we are, to use the biblical term, ambassadors for Christ. Are we ambassadors for Christ that he would like to, you know, say, yeah, he's doing a good job, or I don't know him, you know, and he hid his face from us? So in other words, my point here is plan on giving God the Father and Jesus Christ a good feast. And one more I have, number 8, is are we preparing for the upcoming feast and fast of atonement? Most people, I have found, need to prepare for a fast day. Now, of course, we recommend that we fast throughout the year, but this is a day that is commanded. This fast is commanded by God. And if you have a question, I think we can show you out of Scripture, you know, where that we are to afflict ourselves, and by various uses of the word throughout Scripture, we can see it's a day of prayer and fasting. Are you preparing for that day? And I mean preparing for it with the fast, with that attitude. Because, you know, we can come to the Day of Atonement and not drink any water or juice or any of that, or eat any food, and that's not fasting. That's doing without water and food. To humble ourselves to anan, which is the Hebrew word, the way that God wants us to do, we're either fasting on the Day of Atonement or we're giving up food and water. Now, which one is it? There is a difference. And that's what I'm asking. Are we preparing for that? And I hope that we are. And I think we all should get the point with what I'm saying. There are many things that we can and we need to be doing as we prepare for the upcoming fall holy days. So yes, the holy day season is just around the corner. How prepared for the holy days are we? And how prepared for the kingdom of God are we? As a congregation, as a family, and individually. Fall holy day season pictures the coming of the kingdom of God. You and I are to be ready. Yes, we are to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ in the beginning of the ushering in of the kingdom of God. And brethren, of course, then the question that we would ask here is how prepared and how ready are we? And it's not too late to start now. So let's prepare and let's be ready for the fall holy day season, picturing the coming, the return of Jesus Christ, and the ushering in of the kingdom of God. Let's be prepared. The Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Brethren, without a doubt, our great God and Jesus Christ at his right hand has so richly blessed us with the knowledge of the holy days, the plan of salvation for all of mankind. Let's prepare and be ready. And that's the blessing that I would ask upon us all today, preparing for those times coming.